turn to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. It is good to see all of you here, especially our visitors. We thank you for coming. I'm glad to be in church.
Amen.
I'm glad it's resurrection. Every Sunday is resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday we go to church. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, we are the only religion in the world that gets this opportunity to do this every Sunday.
Amen.
Every other religion, they worship a dead god somewhere in the graveyard. But I got news for you. If your God can't get himself out of the grave, how do you expect him to get you out of the grave one day?
Amen.
And so we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men may say. John chapter number 20. I want to show you in verse number, the resurrection is in all four Gospels, but in John chapter number 20 is where I want to zone in on this morning. Verse number 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came into the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down, and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie. Verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, and for as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, one on the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had, used to be, past tense, used to be there. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I have ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, again, we come to you. We're grateful. We're already just glad that you are sitting high on your throne. And Lord, we feel your presence here today like no other. And God, I just thank you for it. I thank you for a good number of people here today. But Lord, that's not what it's all about. It's all about you. God, I pray that you'd bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Here in John chapter number 20, we see probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible. And it's not just a story you read in a storybook. This is actually a true living story.
Amen.
A lot of people wonder about Jesus. They think Jesus was just another man, and Jesus was another man like Moses or Elijah and all the Old Testament prophets. But I got news for you. Jesus just didn't show up in Bethlehem. Jesus has never had a birthday. Yes, we worship Christmas or worship the holiday of Christmas, of the birth of Jesus Christ. But I got news for you. Jesus has never had a birthday. He's always been. In John chapter number 1, Jesus said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And when you look at that in the Bible, "Word" is capitalized. Why? It's talking about Jesus Christ. In the beginning, John, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, "In the beginning God created." Well, in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God." You say, "Well, I thought God created everything." He did. You're saying Jesus created everything. He did. Why? Jesus is the Son of God. Timothy 3:16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, received up in the glory." Ladies and gentlemen, there is without a doubt, Jesus Christ is the sinless Savior that we serve here this morning. In the Old Testament, there's only really one message of the Old Testament books. 39 books in the Old Testament is really only one message, and that is somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. Isaiah said somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. And then you get to the New Testament, and there's two messages. Somebody has come and He is coming again. All through the Old Testament pages, you see Jesus Christ walking through the pages of the Old Testament. You say, "Why did Jesus have to come?" It's because Adam failed in the garden. Sin entered this world. And so what Adam lost, Jesus Christ had to come to this world and restore everything that Adam lost. And so everything Adam lost, Jesus Christ came to this world to restore. Adam couldn't raise himself up from the dead. Jesus says, "Let me show you how to do that." And He came, died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited or nothing. But in the Old Testament, Jesus walked through the pages of the Old Testament. Why, who do you think it was that spoke to Moses in the burning bush? God, and Moses says, "Hey, tell me what your name is." And He says, "I am that I am." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the same I am that spoke to Moses, and the same I am when the disciples came to arrest Jesus. They said, "We're looking for Jesus, the Son of God." He said, "I am." And they fell back and fell back to themselves. Why? Because He is the great I am. In the book of John, He says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. I am the door." 7 different times He says, "I am." Over there, Song of Solomon, He says, "I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star." I'm just here to say this morning, He is. It's not that He was. It's not that He is right now, nor ever going to be. I am covers past, present, and future all at the same time.
Amen.
In the New Testament, you get to that point to where in the New Testament, when the Old Testament's finished, you put your pen down, nobody says anything for about 400 years. Between Malachi and Matthew, nobody says anything for about 400 years. And then all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, all of a sudden, you follow me on the hill. And on this hill, there's some shepherds over there. And they're tending to their flock by night. And the Bible says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came around them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let me just say this, there will be no peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace comes. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Green Party, Independent. It don't make any difference, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, there will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes again at the second coming. One of my favorite stories of all the Bible, Jesus Christ being born. Yes, that's wonderful. But there's one story in the Bible when Jesus was a 12-year-old boy. And when he was a 12-year-old boy, he comes into the synagogue while all of the scribes and the Pharisees, they're up there reading the scroll of Isaiah. And this 12-year-old boy comes in, and no doubt, these sophisticated fellas are saying, "Oh Lord, this little boy is trying to interrupt the service." And they finally said, "Well, son, if you want to come up here and read, we'll let you read our Bible." He said, "Oh, no, thank you. I wrote it. I won't need it." And the Bible says when he got done, it confounded the doctors and the lawyers. And they said, "Never a man spake like this man." I'm sure they said, "Boy, what in the world is your name?" He said, "Well, on my mama's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, it's Emmanuel, God with us." They said, "Boy, how old are you?" He said, "Well, on my mama's side, I'm just 12 years old. But on my father's side, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and I've always been." They said, "Boy, where are you from?" He said, "Well, on my mama's side, I'm from a little town called Bethlehem. But on my father's side, I'm from a city called New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." He said, "How do you get around?" He said, "Well, on my mama's side, I ride a donkey everywhere I go. But on my father's side, I'm coming back in Revelation 19 on a white horse, reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords." They said, "Boy, are you even human?" He said, "Well, on my mama's side, I get real tired and have to go to sleep in the bottom of a boat. But," he said, "on my father's side, when the storm comes, I walk to the bail of the ship, say, 'Peace be still.' And the winds of the waves say, 'We've heard that voice before.' Boys, y'all better lay down and pay attention." They said, "On my mama's side, I get hungry. I get hungry. But on my father's side, I am the bread of life that'll feed your hungry soul." Amen. He said, "On my father, my mama's side, I get thirsty and I'll cry on the cross. I thirst. But on my father's side, I'll meet the woman at the well and tell her she'll drink of this water. She'll never thirst again." Hallelujah. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. He said, "On my mama's side, I cry at funerals. I cried at the funeral of Lazarus." He said, "On my father's side, I said, 'Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.'" And the reason he had to say, "Lazarus, come forth," is because if he just said, "Come forth," everybody in the graveyard would have got there. Because one of these days, that's what's going to happen. He's going to say, "Come forth," and the whole saved nation, the body of Christ, the church of the living God, will rise on resurrection ground. Say, "What did you come to do?" He said, "Well, on my mama's side, I come to die. But on my father's side, if you'll give me just 3 days, I'm coming back. I will raise up out of the grave and walk up victorious over death, hell, and the grave."
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of my all-time favorite stories. But then in John chapter number 19, we read John 20, but in John chapter 19, here's what I want to get to, and I'm just sort of trying to get there. On the cross, he cries, "It is finished." You say, "What is finished?" Well, salvation is finished. Redemption is finished. That means you don't have to help him. It's already been done. I give this illustration many times at this pulpit or that communion table or the piano, all of these different kind of things. If I brought a hammer and a chisel and a few nails and all this kind of thing, and you walked in and I was hammering on this pulpit and hammering on the communion table and chiseling on that piano, you'd say, "What in the world are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to finish this." And they said, "Well, dummy, it's already finished. You can't help it." So for you trying to help him get yourself to heaven, you can't add to what he's already finished. He said, "It's finished. Salvation is complete. You can go to heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord." When he said it's finished, that's what he meant. But then I found something interesting. In Revelation chapter number 21, when all is done, at the end of time, in John 21, about 7, 8, 9 verses, so long in there, God says this, "It is done." On the cross, he said, "It is finished." But then later on in the end of the Revelation, he said, "It is done." Now, I don't know, y'all, if I don't take my medicine, my mind just goes crazy. I was ADD when I was a kid, and I didn't know it back then. We didn't call it that. We just whooped everybody. And this is where my mind is working. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." But then way on down in Revelation, he said, "It is done." So here's my thought this morning, just thinking about it. It is finished. But he ain't done yet. Oh, let me get to the Pentecostal side over here. It is finished. But he ain't done yet. He ain't done yet until Revelation, but it is finished. But he's not done yet. I see them arrest the Lord Jesus Christ and they take him, and Judas kisses him on the side of the face, kisses the door to heaven, and goes to hell. How close can you get? You can get that close. Judas kissed the door to heaven and turned and rejected Jesus Christ. And they arrested him and they took him to Calvary's Hill, and they put him nails, and you just seen a video where they put nails in his feet and in his hands, and he cried there, and he said, "I thirst." And the seven last sayings we just dealt with maybe last Sunday or so, the seven last sayings of Christ, and one of those sayings is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Right.
One of the last two, the next to the last thing he said, "It is finished." And then he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit."
Amen. Amen.
Nobody else in the room can do that. Jesus decided when he was going to die. You can't do that, but he can.
Amen.
Death was right there waiting. And I could just see Jesus said, "Hang on, I ain't ready yet."
Amen.
Well, you can't do that, but he can.
Amen.
And he said, "All right, now, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And he bowed his head and he died. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, two men, come to Pilate and they beg for the body. They said, "Let us have his body." No doubt it was a very large task to get nails out of a man's hand suspended in midair hanging on a cross. No doubt they had to pry him off of that cross, and they washed his body and they put clean linen on his body. And they washed it and put spices and all that kind of thing. They have embalming fluid, so they put the... you remember when the wise men came at the birth of Jesus? Well, he was about 2 years old when the wise men got there. And they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those three gifts represent prophet, priest, and king. The gold is because Jesus is king. The frankincense is because he's our high priest. But the myrrh, they brought him, and it's an odd gift to bring a child, but myrrh is what they use to bury people with, to preserve a body. Why did they bring that to baby? Why did one of the wise men bring that to baby Jesus? Why? Because he was born to die for the sins of the whole world.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And that myrrh, they took that and placed him in a borrowed tomb. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get this, this is wonderful. Joseph of Arimathea owned this tomb. He hewn it out of a rock. And he had it for himself to be buried in. That was his place. Jesus didn't have a place to be buried. He didn't need a place. All he needed was something for the weekend. He just needed something for the week. He didn't need a long-term thing. He just wanted to have it for the weekend. Joseph of Arimathea put him in that tomb. Put a rock out there. And they put the Lord Jesus Christ in that. You say, where did he go for those 3 days and three nights? I don't have time to tell you. If I did, you probably wouldn't believe me if I told you. But Jesus wasn't in that tomb. His body was. His soul and spirit went somewhere else. You say, where do you went? The Bible, hey, he told the thief on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So I know, yes, his body was in that tomb, but his soul and spirit went to the lower parts of the earth. Matthew 12:40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights, where? In the heart of the earth. And he goes to the heart of the earth. What's he doing? He took your sin and my sin, and he dumped it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you ever again. Heard the story about the little Sunday school teacher. She was teaching the kids about where your sins go, and she wrote on the chalkboard the word sin. And she said, they're gone. Jesus paid for them. They're gone. And one of the little boy couldn't understand. He said, well, where'd they go? She said, well, I don't know where they went. They're just gone. I can't explain it. They're just gone. And he just couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. So finally, she saw that on that chalkboard, the word sin. She just took the eraser and she erased that word sin. She said, son, I don't know where that chalkboard went or the word went. She said, all I know is it's just gone. Your sins are gone, never to be remembered against you ever again. Somebody ought to say amen on that. Dump your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Then he goes over to Abraham's bosom. All them Old Testament saints are waiting for the resurrection. They're waiting for the first fruits of the resurrection. And he gathers up all the Old Testament saints out of Abraham's bosom. And he says, hey, I got the blood of the New Testament. This blood that I shed on the cross, it's going to be the payment for the sin of the whole world. Y'all get in a single file line and y'all follow me. We're fixing to put it off. Now stay with me. We're going to put it off on the mercy seat in heaven. Y'all get with me. Abraham, get all in line. It's in there. You just have to read it. On his way to heaven, he hears something at the tomb. Somebody's crying. It's Mary. Now, stay with me. He's on his way to dump the blood off on the mercy seat that will pay for the whole sins of the whole world. But he says, hang on. Abraham, hold this. He goes down, back down to the... He puts heaven on hold for this one troubled saint. He put heaven on hold because somebody was troubled. He says, he goes down there. She thinks he's a gardener. She thinks he took the load. She thinks he's somebody just mows the cemetery. Keeps all the weeds out. And she says, sir, please tell me where you put him, and I'll get him and take him off your hands. He said, Mary? Yeah. And she said, there's him. She said, I've had a lot of people call me Mary. My mama called me Mary. My daddy called me Mary. But ain't nobody called me Mary like he called me. Amen. Why? Because my sheep know my voice. And when he called her name, she said, Master. Watch. How you know what I just told you is the truth? Because she headed for his feet. And he said, what? Touch me not. I have not yet ascended.
Amen.
He put heaven on hold just for this one person.
Amen.
You say, should that be an encouragement to me this morning? It should be an encouragement to you this morning to know that he cares about you. He cares about your infirmities. He cares what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. And he put heaven on hold just to come see what was troubling her.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes all you got to do is say, God, I need your help.
Amen.
And he would move heaven and earth. What's the Bible say? We have not cause we ask not. But then he deals with this woman and he goes on up to heaven. Mercy seat, puts the blood on the mercy seat. And I'm telling you, he sits down at the right hand of God the Father. Because why? He's our high priest.
Amen.
That frankincense that one of the wise men brought him. Then I got to thinking. When the ladies came that morning, early that morning, early when you should be in the bed.
Amen.
Early. You say, you like sunrise services? No. I like to be in the bed. Especially when it's still dark. It gets dark, you're supposed to go to bed, and when it gets daylight, you're supposed to get up. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know where that said. That's just what Daddy says. He said, nothing good happens after dark. That's what he said. And you know what? It's true. Nothing good happens after dark. Where was I going? Oh. These women came. Now, I want to get to them. John chapter number 20. And I'm hurrying. But they get there, and they see. What did the Bible say? They said they saw his linen clothes laid in this one spot. And then the napkin that was around his head in another spot,
yeah.
Folded.
Yeah.
The Bible says folded.
Yeah.
His other clothes are wadded up over here, but the napkin thing is folded. Isn't that odd? You say, preacher, what? Well, you have to understand Jewish custom. Now, I just found this on the first row. I don't even know whose it belongs to, but I just figured I needed it for the illustration. I don't even know. I found it right there. Don't even know whose it belongs to, and I wish it was white, but it's not. It's Tennessee Arm. Somebody say amen right there. Jewish custom, when you go into somebody's house, and you're sitting there and you're eating, and you get ready to, you're through. Just what you do. I don't even know where they come from. And you wad it up and put it on your plate. The servants are looking through the kitchen. And if they see that, they know to come get the plate. You're done. And they come clear the table off. But if the master of the house just needs to get up to go get something, maybe he... whatever, and he's planning on coming back to the table. He's not finished eating. He folds it real nice and neat and puts it by his plate. And that way, when they look out from the kitchen, they say, he ain't done yet. He's coming back.
Amen.
Amen.
I told you it's finished, but he ain't done yet.
Amen.
It is finished, but he ain't done yet.
Amen.
And when he left that grave, he folded because he knew the disciples were coming in. And they're Jewish. And he's Jewish. And they folded. He folds it real nice and neat. And lays it separate from his other clothes.
Right.
Lays it in there.
Right.
Amen.
You say, how do you know all that? Well, if you didn't even know Jewish custom, you read that. Why in the world would John take special time out and waste a whole verse to say the napkin at his head? Who cares where the napkin was? It was on his head. Unless it meant something.
Amen.
I mean, why would you take a whole verse and talk about the napkin wrapped around his head folded?
Yeah.
Nobody cares if it was folded, if it was wadded up. Well, us Easterners are that way, but hey, them Jews, when they come in and saw that, they're like, that's odd. That looks like the way we fold it when we leave the table, we plan on coming back.
Amen.
We're coming back to the same spot we just left in. Acts chapter number 1 says, when he left out of here, the Bible says, those two men in white raiment says, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus will come back just as you've seen him go.
Amen.
So he's coming the right back to the same place that he left from.
Amen.
Listen, that's good.
Amen.
He give us that sign to say, it's finished, but I ain't done yet.
Amen.
Now, let me give you this real quick. It is finished, but he's not done yet. And you say, what? He's not done saving souls.
Amen.
He's not done saving souls yet. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Acts 4 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For no, there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only two kinds of people in this room this morning. Only two. It's not white, black, rich, poor, Republicans, Democrats, whatever. It's only two. That's saved and lost. Oh, God only has two classifications. There's no middle ground. You're either saved, you're either going or you ain't going. You got saints and then you got ants. In the eyes of God, there's only two. And people have this mistaken thought that they say, well, if you're good, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. And sometimes, now listen, I ain't fussing because I probably did the same thing. But when we raise our kids, say, now listen, if you're bad, the boogeyman's going to get you. Don't we say that? That's bad. Why? Because listen, if you don't get saved, the boogeyman's going to get us all. No matter if you're good or bad.
Right.
But hey, he ain't finished, or he is finished, but he ain't done saving souls yet.
Amen.
I remember, I think the Bible says something like this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think that pretty well consists of everybody.
Amen.
There's a fellow, I don't know if you've ever heard him, his name is Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was probably one of the greatest revivalists that ever, this is back in the early 1900s and all. Billy Sunday would, preach like forked lightning. I'm talking about just really preach. People by the hundreds would get saved. And every time Billy Sunday would go into a certain town, he would write the mayor of that town and he would say this, "Mayor, would you send me a list of names of everybody in your town that needs Jesus? I'm going to start praying for them that they'll get saved before I get there at the revival meeting." This one particular town that he went to, he did that with the mayor. He said, "Mayor, I need a list of names. Would you please send me a list of names of everybody that needs Jesus?" The mayor sent him the town phone book. Why? Because that mayor knew everybody needs Jesus.
Amen.
That mayor's name was in the phone book. You know what he says? He says, "Even me."
Amen.
You say, "What a Christian?" I don't know. But hey, even those of us that are Christians, we still need
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
It is finished, but he's not done saving souls yet.
Right.
And let me say this last one. It is finished, but he's not done restoring the fallen. You may be in the room this morning and have fallen. You have messed up. And you have just really done it. I've got news for you. God ain't done yet.
Amen.
What's the old song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. If you ever get to the point where you look in the mirror in the morning and say, I have arrived. That's when you need some help.
Amen.
Ain't nobody arrived. We can all do better.
Amen.
We can all serve him more.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Now y'all are just like me. If somebody pulls out in front of you, you've got the same few words that run through your head.
Amen.
Y'all don't look at me so spiritual on Resurrection Sunday morning. Maybe you feel like just doing that. Am I by myself? It works than that. Yeah. Lord, if you ride with Jerry Locke anywhere, you're scared for your life anyway. You say, "Who are you talking about?" Remember Simon Peter? Simon Peter. And I'm closing. Simon Peter denied the Lord not once, not twice, but three times. Simon Peter messed up royally.
Amen.
I'm closing the watch. It is finished, but he's not done restoring the fallen. Simon Peter messed up. No doubt Simon Peter. That Bible says over there in Luke 22, it says when Jesus walked out of that room, when the rooster crowed, his eyes met the Lord. And I'm talking about look straight through it. No doubt he goes home. And Peter's like, "I've messed up." for 1, 2, 3 days and three nights. Peter has cried more, and he's cried so much he ain't got any water in his head to come out of his eyes anymore. And the Bible says, remember I told you the resurrection is on all four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, in Mark 16, this is what it says. Jesus told the ladies, said, I'm very much alive, but go tell my disciples and Peter. In other words, he says, if you forget to tell the whole world, don't forget to tell Peter that I still want to see him. No matter if you messed up, no matter if you just bombed out, God still wants to restore the fallen. He still wants to save those people near his tail. God don't want to see anybody go to hell. But all, listen, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is finished. But he's not done yet. I'm glad he's not done. I'm glad it's finished. I'm glad he's not done. He's not done working. He's not done. He's coming back to rescue us out of this sinful world. What a resurrection Sunday. Let's all stand up in the building. It is finished, but he's not done.